is the 45th anniversary of my wife's and I engagement. And as a young person in my church, I knew God was calling me for ministry. I didn't think it was pastorate because has anybody ever heard of Mel Tillis? What does he do when he's not singing? He's stuttering. And I stuttered. I had the speech impediment. There's no way that I could preach or talk or anything like that. But I really believe God was calling me into the ministry. And after church, on Sunday nights in particular, three of us would get together. There was Joanne Berger, and she wanted to be a missionary teacher down in South America. And then Nancy, I forget her last name, and she wanted to be a missionary nurse. And I, who couldn't do anything, I decided I would be a missionary pilot. And I would fly these girls to the villages where they needed to be. I would fly in supplies every week, and whatever they needed, I would be at their beck and call. And so that's how we had it put together, okay? Joanne Berger dropped dead of a heart attack. Nobody knew she had a bad heart. She was an adopted lady. Nobody knew this young lady's history. And she dropped dead of a heart attack. And Nancy, of course, went to college, became a nurse, and became a missionary nurse. And I was the only one that didn't feel that. And I believe God wanted me to be in the ministry. He was laying upon my heart to be a pastor. And I knew I did not have the qualifications. And so I did the Gideon wager. Does anybody know the Gideon wager? Okay, I did the Gideon wager. Okay, God, if you want me to be a pastor, I have to be trained. I have to go to a Bible college. I don't know where to go. My pastor at that time had three sons, one older than me, one my age, one younger than me, and they all went to college, but he never, ever, ever spoke to me about going to college, about being in the ministry. And I fought him for that today. He missed his opportunity. And so, Father, I said, I don't know where to go. My grandfather, when I graduated from high school, said, Jim, what are you going to do with all that education? I was the first one in the Snyder clan to graduate from high school. And so I knew, God, if you're preparing me, you've got to do something. And so I come up with the Gideon wager. And so I think Christianity Today, one issue, they had all of the Bible colleges in the spring that were ready for fall. And so I picked out 15 Bible colleges. I knew nothing about them. I picked out 15 Bible colleges. You didn't have internet, so you couldn't apply online like we do today. And so I wrote letters to all of them, and I had them piled there, and I says, okay, now God, I'm going to do my part. Now here's your part. The first college that calls me on the telephone, does anybody remember the telephone? calls me on the telephone, that's the college that I'm going to go to. And so a couple of weeks later, there came this call from a place called Elohim Bible Institute. I didn't know what it was. It was part of the colleges that I sent to. I had no idea what it was. I didn't know the difference between an institute and a college at the time. But they did what I asked God for them to do. They called me and said, when can we expect you? That was their call. When can we expect you on campus? And so we set up a date, and I hung up the phone. And then, you know, Gideon's wager had two sides. Remember that? I said, okay, now, God, I know that's where you want me to go. And I know this. I know that being a pastor is a very hard, difficult thing. And I need a helpmeet. Isn't that what the Bible talks about? I need a helpmeet. For me, a date was a dried up prune. You know what I'm talking about? I wasn't very culturally dating and not all of that. I never dated in my life. And so I said this, okay, God, that's the college you want me to go to, the institute. Now, here it is, the first young lady that I meet on that camp. You know, when you're a young country boy, you don't know what you're talking about, do you? You know? The first young lady I meet on that campus will be my wife that you're going to give to me. We pulled up to the men's dorm, and I thought, well, at least I'm safe. We pulled up to the men's dorm. out of the men's dorm comes this lady. Remember back in the 70s, they used to roll, ladies used to roll their hair up in tin cans. Remember that? And so out of this dorm comes this young lady in tin cans, and I could almost hear God chuckle. I almost could hear God chuckle. And I said, now wait a minute, God, wait a minute, I haven't touched ground yet. And God never changed it. And so the boy, men's dorm was there, the ladies' dorm was there, and just beyond them was the post office. So when I wanted to go to the post office, I would go down a block, and then I would cross over so nobody could see me. I didn't want to run into her again, okay? And so I went down that way. Amos was one of my, Amos Gilbert. You know Amos Gilbert? He was one of the men there. And he said, Jim, we're going to a restaurant. You want to go along? I'm going to take my girlfriend. And I think my sister is coming too. I'm not quite sure. Ah, sure. I mean, I'll go out to eat. So we went down to pick up his girlfriend, and I think they were engaged at that time, and his sister. Guess who that sister was? Can you guess who that's? Thankfully, she didn't have the tin cans in her head, you know, but here she came. And I opened the door and let her in, and I don't know. But all the way to the restaurant, all the way back, I sat on my hands. I didn't know what to do. Dating was a dried prune for me. I didn't know what to do. I sat in my hands. We went to the restaurant and ate. I paid for mine and none other, you know. Pennsylvania Dutchman does that. The Pennsylvania Dutchman has this philosophy. You pay for your own unless you can con someone else into paying yours for you. And so we come home and I try to be a gentleman. I opened the door and let her come out. You will never guess what she did. She threw her arms and hugged me. I had never been hugged in my life. Nobody ever hugged me. And I'm standing there like this. And I'm thinking, what just happened? What just happened? You know? And that was it. That was it. And I don't know what that was. Well, then a couple days later, we were in the hallway, and she passed, and she gave me a note. I should have kept that note. Because the note said, I miss you. I didn't know what that meant. And underneath it was X-O-X-O-X-O-X-O. And I'm thinking, she's Baptist. I know she doesn't speak in tongues. What is this all about, you know? I miss you. We were supposed to get together somewhere? What do you mean she missed me? And I looked at that XOXO, then it dawned me. Does anybody know what it is? What? No. It's tic-tac-toe. I found out that her favorite game was tic-tac-toe, and for some reason, we were supposed to get together for a game, and I missed it. She missed me, and she was writing it in tic-tac-toe all the way in the bottom there. I was very sophisticated, wasn't I? You know, it took me a long time to realize that XOXOXO was not tic-tac-toe, you know? Well, we went on. I was very, very much confused. Then in January of that year, we went on a trip. I think the institute had a singing group, and we went on a trip. And we were sitting in the back seat of it. And coming home, she said something like, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful to get married? I, thinking we were having a conversation, said, yes, I think that would be great to be married, you know. The next day in school, everybody was congratulating me. And I thought, you know, I must have got an A on that test last week. I started smiling. Everybody was congratulating. And I thought, why would everybody congratulate me about getting an A on a test? And finally, I stopped someone and said, what in the world are you congratulating for? Well, you're getting married. You're getting engaged and you're getting married. I was the last one on the campus to find out I was engaged. Now, in those days, it was a little different from today. For example, you had to go to the president of the institute to get permission to be engaged and married. And so I went to Dr. Don, I can't think of his last name right now, but I went to him, and he was so excited because his goal was to have this institute and bring young people from all over the place and kind of match them up for ministry and so forth. And he was very happy about it and congratulated me and so forth. That was the easy part of it. Then I had to go back to Syracuse and talk to her father. I don't think they do that today, do they? I had to go back and get his permission. And so I said, sir, I would like your daughter's hand in marriage. I sighed. And then he said, no. I didn't know what to do. No. And here's what he said. If you don't want the rest of her, you can't have her hand. It's either all or nothing. A country boy can't win in the arena of romance, can they? Well, on February the 14th, this is September, October, November, December, January, February, about 6 months, February the 14th, in the year of our Lord, 1971, I made it official and gave her an engagement ring, and we were officially engaged. 6 months later, August the 14th, 1971, we were married. We knew each other less than a year. Isn't that something? Less than a year. I guess my Gideon wager worked, didn't it? Today marks the 45th anniversary of our engagement. And this August, we will celebrate our 45th wedding anniversary. December 1972, we began our pastoral ministry in Stamford, New York. And I knew just about as much about planting a church as I did about romance. But that's our story. And I wanted to share that story today. Today is Valentine's Day. Today is our 45th anniversary and so forth. And I didn't plan this day. It just, you know how God just brings things together. And so I didn't plan Psalm 31. It came a couple weeks ago. And so God is bringing us to this point here. And there is a spiritual paradigm that has marked our relationship all these years. Now, paradigm, we need to be very careful. People use it carelessly. Let me just give you a definition of paradigm. Paradigm is a model or pattern for something that may be copied. A theory or a group of ideas about how something should be done, made, or thought about. And so our spiritual paradigm goes like this. Number one, we love God. That's on the top. Number two, we love serving God. That's second. You can't have the second without the first. Number three, we love each other. If you don't have this prioritized, you're going to have a lot of problems through life. You see, our love for each other does not compromise our serving God, because serving God comes first. And our serving God doesn't compromise, we're not compromised there, because we love God. And that has been the spiritual paradigm that has guided us these 45 years. Now, there are basically four categories in this paradigm. Basically four. Number one, a Christian couple getting married. That's what I'm talking about. Christian couple gets married and they have everything in line, supposedly. Secondly, a couple who is married and then later on become Christians. Now, they have a challenge of getting this priority in line. Some of them do, some of them don't. But that is the great challenge, to put it in the right perspective. The easiest one is the single person. Paul talks about that. I won't go there. But a single person, I love God. I love serving God. I love what God is doing in my life. Now that has to be for the single person, you see. And so here we are serving God. Now by serving God, I'm not talking about a full-time ministry. That comes later. Serving God, and we're going to talk about that when we talk about the attributes of the bride. Serving God is serving God. Remember what Jesus said, as you have done it to the least of these, you have done it to me. And so if I'm serving God, I'm touching the lives of people around me.